When you live alone,
yeah,
it's like sometimes you just kind of forget, honestly.
Yeah, you eat out of convenience.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're shouting.
Throw up a West Side. What's the gang sign in Harden?
You're lying. <Just kidding. laughs> Liar.
I don't think that's like a, it doesn't seem to be, that's more like me and St. Alicia's time.
Yeah, the gang sign.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Right. It is, yeah.
Yeah. Loser. It's not a gang sign, but same thing.
People used to know. Gang of losers.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it makes. Oh, yeah. Blood. Remember, it makes blood. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know it?
Crow Park. Well, I can't remember how to do it.
Crow Park?
Crow Park.
Crow Park.
I did it.
You didn't see it. It's like part, yeah. It's part of us.
It's part.
It's so stupid because we know nothing.
We don't know how to jump people in.
We don't know nothing.
It's not even like part of.
All we know how to do is run from dogs, okay?
And cops.
Oh, yeah. Lay down.
Lay down. Yeah, is that a cop? Lay down.
Lay down.
Lay down.
No, it wasn't a cop.
Okay, let's go. It was never a cop.
Yeah, never a cop.
And then, you know, half the times the cops didn't even care what you were doing, but your mind.
I know, see them kids lay down.
My clothes are all dirty, okay? My grandma's not going to wash off? This.
You take off from the cop that's not chasing you. Like, I look back on it now and I'm like, I don't know if they're actually chasing.
Yeah, I don't think.
They weren't chasing until they saw you running.
Hey, listen to this song. You ready? I said, are you ready?
Ready.
Got a verbal yes. Here we go. Yeah, you know what era that is because you can see it on the screen, right? That has the familiar sound of the 70s, 1976, to be precise.
A war dance song.
That was probably the end of when it was called the war dance song. I think some people tried to revive it, you know, on their subsequent
albums. It was like retro. It's like retro to call it that.
Yeah.
Sing a war dance? You guys want to start saying that?
We should, yeah. You guys want to sing a war dance?
Wait, what? How do you say it? How do you say it in your language?
Your language.
Oh, no.
Come on. You tell me you don't know how to say it.
Well, we say hot dance. By the way, the soot.
Hot dance.
The hot dance song, yeah?
Are you telling me your language is English? I'm just kidding. Let's decolonize.
Oh. You did it. He's let him chew his food and he's gonna spit it out.
How long did we make it into the recording before we heard decolonize?
I usually heard Sunday today. 20. It was all you could say all day. And I was like, what the hell?
I know. Yeah. I was feeling the decolonial flow. I was doing it as a joke, though. And she was getting mad. What's saying that word? I'm just joking. It's a joke. But decolonization is not a joke.
No. Let's start it off with the land acknowledgement.
Oh yeah, I'd like to start this episode off with the land acknowledgement. I would like to acknowledge the lands of the Bigfoot, the Yeti, often referred to as Sasquatch, whose lands we live and play and unlearn today. Furthermore, I would like to position myself among the people of the mythical beasts of Native American lore and acknowledge my position of authority over over their domain and how I make them be perceived in my work.
Get it?
The position of authority I hold over the domain of the mythical creatures of the forest.
Of the forest.
Now these beasts never get acknowledged, you know. Mm-mm. They not never the
snake,
knew.
Not the snake, not the spider.
We can climb up the animal kingdom and name
many. Not the turtle.
No. It's not up. Oh, or it's down. It's not a hierarchy. That's you.
That's you
colonizing that.
God darn it!
Not the raven.
You're right.
Not the salmon.
I need to acknowledge my position of authority among the animal kingdom.
What kingdom? That's the colonizer.
Oh, the kingdom. Okay, let me try it again.
Do it again.
I can get this. I would like to acknowledge.
Don't forget the flathead monster.
Scaly who? I like to acknowledge my position among the creatures of this earth as my relatives, my kin. In fact, one of them could be a brother and sister. So that puts me in no position.
Neither.
See, I'm humanizing it. Mm-hmm. I don't see no way out of this.
What is it?
I've worked myself into a colonial trap.
A colonial conundrum.
Colonial conundrum. See, now I started it off by using the colonizer's language, which probably is what walked me into this colonial trap, if you will.
I don't know the verbiage. I've heard it 1,000 times.
I've heard it for 7 generations.
And in every direction.
And in all the directions. Oh,
times 2, which equals 14.
Even inwardly.
that's one of the 7.
Because you got to go around twice.
Oh, God. Okay.
And you go around 4 all times. Right. 4 right, times right, 7.
Right, right. All right. Okay. I got something I need to talk about.
Hold up. Before you start, I want people to get a sense
of us.
Today we entered into a group chat.
Did you get thirsty? Are you thirsty?
And what? You said Salisha started this conversation out with
well, yeah.
With can you put smudge in a jar?
Oh yeah.
And send it. would it still work?
You know,
I said, I said, I think so. No, don't interrupt me. I said, I think so. Wait, like in the mail, like mail? And Salisha says, yeah. Would you smudge it? Would you smudge if you were in the middle of a gang fight? And then I said, in reference to the first question, are like a legal jar. And then Shandeen says, does your smudge get more powerful if you smudge the smudge first? And then in which I said, I smudge all my smudges with four smudges, four times. And then Shandeen replies, joint appointed roots, in reference to the jar comment. And then Salisha says, way later, says, what's legal about the jar? And then Shandeen says, triplicate smudge. Then I said, a joint action resolution. And then Salisha enters in with a very profound question. So we should smudge when passing a law. That's a great question.
Yeah, amongst all the clutter.
Shandeen then says, smudge with bits of jar. That's a good thought. That's
yeah,
a good
like
thought.
rip it up in little pieces and throw it in the throw it
and
in
then
the mix.
Salisha says something a bit vague, and I would say somewhat controversial. Would you smudge while flagging?
Like on the road, side of the road?
And then I come back with a very clever smudge action resolution, but I spelt it R-E-Z.
I didn't catch that. That's a good one.
And then in reference to your flagging comment, I said before and after. I think as a precaution, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's to be safe.
And then Shandeen says, which we all know, smudge before free throws. That's a given. Salisha then says, should you smudge while bringing the ball down the court? Great question. Great thought. We hear you. Shandeen then says, smudge the referee's jerseys, which I thought we were already doing. Is that not what we're doing?
I don't think so.
And then Salisha comes back with a, should we replace the gravel with smudge? Which we weren't even going there.
The gravel?
The gavel.
I mean, gavel.
Gravel.
Yeah, gavel.
Yeah, if you're
you
laying
gavel.
Down some gravel for a nice you driveway, smudge up that gravel.
You said gavel, and I said decolonization is the key to pre-smudge rituals, at which time I threw Salisha through a loop. She said, wait, and I could hear it. Wait. There's a pre-smudge? And I thought, where's she been? And then, should we take hats off to smudge? Which I thought, well, yeah. So, yeah. And I said, stand up and offer smudge to the 14 directions. It's in the manual. And I'm like, are we not consulting the manual? And then Salisha figured it out because her foundation is strong. 7 times 2 equals 14. Boom, she got it. And she then asked, because she's full of questions today. She said, would you smudge during a job interview? Do you actually get smudged if someone smudges the Zoom screen? Great. I mean, that's a great question. And then I said, I would have hot coals burning and in constant smudge. And you said, like always, Salisha, like carry a little pan of coals. I said, yes, always, as is our way. And then you said, I think that answers all my questions.
Are you walking?
But do you ever look away for the smudge? Oh, look away from the smudge when you're smudging.
Well, yeah.
That seems dangerous. Like,
wait. How profound is that thought?
Yeah, yeah.
So here's this in-depth indigenous conversation that we're having
via group
text message. Salisha hits us with the, you guys did it. You answered my questions. Good. But I'm going to leave you with this. It's like Jesus leaving. Surely I'll come quickly, he says. Leaves us all like, what? What? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Come back.
Salisha hits us with the, Do you ever look away from the smudge when you're smudging? That's heavy. That's heavy. And I respect that.
That was Sunday. But he said it would seem dangerous. You know?
This was the thought. Now let me just jump in here real quick, because you know, you're watching the person like going in for a good smudge, you know, like he's gonna smudge something down, you know, you've seen the person, we've seen it many times, and they get these strange eyes, you know, they get kind of big and they're looking at everything they're smudging, you know, they're really looking at it. You've seen that, right? You have to look at it when you smudge it, because I guess you might miss, or maybe you're looking for something like a sign, maybe. But I thought, well, what if like the real cool guy, like the pro smudger, he can do the no look smudge. You know, he just kind of you don't have to look at it. He just knows. He knows, or she,
without burning anybody.
Well, of course, they know. They just wave it over there.
It's just with or without a fan?
Oh, without.
Oh, okay.
See, well, the fan could.
We just waft it.
Yeah.
You're so pro. Pull it to you.
Yeah, you're so pro. You don't need the extra tool to get it to where it needs to go. You got the like the little wrist action. Yeah. You can whip it up into like a little ice cream
shape
thing and just kind of boom, project it.
I won't say any names, but
the no look.
100 years ago. During one of those Salish Kootenai College social nights.
Oh, yeah.
They asked the individual to pray for the food, which was, pizza. And these are just like game nights. And he's like, wait. So he runs outside, comes back in with sage in a conch with a fan, just ripping. There's ash going everywhere, all over the food.
Oh, no.
It was bad.
Reminds me of something SpongeBob would do. If SpongeBob were real. Remember he blows into the conch?
Oh, yeah. Or remember he's got really bad breath and he's like, we stink. And then that little stink air is coming out and it forms into this little circle. Like it keeps growing in this room. We stink. Like this big ball of stink air. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I guess not. Anyway, hey, okay.
You're from a different era.
Okay. All right. Okay. This is the deal, though. I got curious about this word, right? Smudge. And I thought, it sounds strange. And it always sounded strange to me, even growing up. So, you know, the first thing I do is what do the English people think of the word smudge? So you consult the dictionary. And in the dictionary, it describes smudge as smearing something, or when something becomes rubbed and it smears, you know, or you make it blurry, you know, like you can smudge ink, you can smudge a painting, you can smudge your makeup.
Oh, mascara.
Smudge your mascara. Yeah, you don't want that. Or in American, a newer American definition of smudge is a smoky outdoor fire that's lit to keep insects off of plants and or protect them against frost. So I thought, all right. Let's interrogate this word and see. Let's see where it starts to come into play among Native American literature. Because, you know, that's how it gets spread.
1976.
Almost. Well, tell me, what's this 1976 reference? You already know. Or did you just throw out a year?
Just throw out a year. Yeah, it was 1976.
Yeah.
I asked my mom.
Yeah.
I said, when did you start hearing people say smudge? Because before they would just say like, cedar yourself off. Or, you know, use some of that or whatever they point at it. Hey, you guys use some of this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cedar yourself off. Smoke yourself off.
Yeah.
And I said, when did you start hearing smudge? And she said, it was right around the time I was Reno District Princess, which was 1976. That's what I said.
That's pretty close, you know. That's pretty close to what I found.
Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird how that's the same as the song that you just played?
I know. What the heck?
We're in some weird.
See, that's what I thought he was going for. He's like trying to introduce some mysticism into this. That was Kyo, 1976. That song was from. Anyway, okay, go ahead.
It was. She was Center Lodge District Princess because the reservation has six districts.
Okay.
She was Center Lodge District Princess in 1976.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but
let me walk you through what I found in a quick little jaunt of the internet, primarily Google Scholar. So in 1938, the word smudged was referenced, but not in any sort of way to Native Americans. It was referenced in terms of the settlers, colonists in Kansas. They were trying to drive away grasshoppers from their crop. So they set. It says efforts to drive them away, them being the horde of grasshoppers, efforts to drive them away by means of smoke smudges proved of no avail, and the crops were ruined. Fast forward to 1941. Now, this is where a smudge comes into some Native American text. And you can probably guess 1941 what kind of text it was. Take a guess.
1941?
Yeah, take a guess.
Where do you get the Farmer's Almanac.
No. Uh-uh. What did you say, Aaron? I didn't hear you.
Propaganda?
No. This is an anthropological text, which is
Say the whole question over again, then. Well, what's the whole question? Okay,
I said it shows up again in the literature in 1941, and I said, guess what kind of text it shows up in. Propaganda, Farmer's Almanac.
Well, I thought you guys are listening.
Well, you're talking about grasshoppers. All I can think about is Farmer's Almanac.
Okay. Anyway, it comes up in this anthropological text where this whoever the anthropologist is, he's talking about this funerary practice, and he says an altar is set up.
Funerary practice.
I know it is. Yeah, they're fixated on the dead. Anyway, an altar is set up in a room and the priest prepares a smudge with some of the hair cut from the corpse. Okay. Fast forward again. It doesn't really show up again until 1960, where again, same kind of text, anthropological text. The guy's talking about the Tlingits? How do you say that? T-L-I-N-G.
Clinkets.
He's saying,
you know that thing you guys do? Clinket.
Yeah, okay. Clinket. Got it. Okay,
Makes lots of sense.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, he describes how they set up a smudge fire to keep flies off their strawberries or something. That's okay. No, that's in alignment with the definition. And then this is strange. Well, it's not strange. Comes up in, again, 1964. Again, a guy is talking about the Greeks this time, not even about Native Americans. He says, it's believed that if a smudge from the flame is planted over the threshold, the home will be blessed with good luck for the year. So that means, you know, when you put fire onto something, it makes like a little black spot, you know. That's what I'm talking about, like smudging something with a flame. And then finally, in 1975, pretty close to what your mother had said, now it starts to show up in Native American literature in the manner in which we know it today, in a text. Let's see, what's it called? Dang it, I lost it. In a text called, where'd it go? I lost it. God dang it. In a text by a individual, again, I think it was a linguist, maybe in this instance. And it's a text about the Dakotas, and is talking about their some of their rites and rituals, I guess, in a certain way. And then he uses the word smudge in a manner in which it's used today, you know, where you're smoking stuff off, those kind of things. So I thought that was pretty curious. And I'm wondering, this is my next thought. Because you know how prolific it is today. I mean, your story is kind of illustrative of that. Like, we're sort of obsessed with smudging. We have this obsession with smudging, right?
Dude, I seen Sage. It said smudge kit. It was being sold in Walmart. In Walmart, man.
They know we're there. They know that.
What was in it?
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
just like those bundled up sages. You know that
sage wand.
Sage wand. Now it was like three of those.
Now everybody wants to be us.
Well, I think it's become so popular they don't even know it's us.
I think it's just part of.
It's a thing now.
Yeah.
What do they call it? People say, "Oh, we're gonna cleanse this room."
Yeah. You got any sage? I'm gonna cleanse my room. Yeah.
Anyway. Like a feng shui. It's almost like a feng shui thing. Like a
yeah.
I think it's kind of seen maybe like Eastern.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think people kind of view it that way. You know.
Yeah, like this exotic, across the ocean kind of thing. Well, this is what I was wondering. I'm wondering if when is really not a good time to smudge? When is it and like just not a great time? Like you see the person, do you think, oh yeah, that's not a great time. he shouldn't be smudging then. This is what I thought. give me an example.
There was no need to smudge. There was no need to smudge the food off.
Because you get ashes all over it, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then who smudges food?
Or just pick a different smudge.
Or maybe just pray. Just pray over it.
Yeah, just pray. Just
pray.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just pray.
Just pray over it.
We don't need to run to the car and grab the tool bag.
This is what I... And I was curious about this because I thought of one. I thought, well, you know, probably a good time not to smudge is when somebody else is smudging, right? You don't want to smudge block somebody.
Who is it? Time to smudge?
Oh no!
There's no smudge blocking. That's not a great time.
Oh man, dude! Normally I'm pretty cool about this stuff. You say like I'm like, shit, that got me, dude. Smudge block. You got me, dude.
You don't want to smudge. It's not your time, bro. It's not your time. go outside. Go outside. Go in the bathroom and smudge or something.
Take that outside. I already started.
Man, my stomach.
You have to wait your turn, okay? Hey,
bro, settle down, dude. I'm already going.
We're already sharing.
Well, I don't know. Burden. Who taught you? Who taught you? I learned from my grandpa. That's it. My authority is more than yours.
You got your smudge kit at Walmart. No, I didn't.
Okay, I still see the tag on.
Okay. So that was my example. When is not a great time to smudge? So I'm wondering from the two of you, when is a good time not to smudge?
Smudge. That's funny. Man, I don't. That messed me up.
It might be tough to top that one. I don't know.
I think it's more about what you're using. So like purpose and intent have a lot to do with God.
You can't think of one.
Can't think of one, so he's gonna go just academic.
Yeah. No, I well, mean I don't know. I don't postulate know that
top five places not to smudge.
Top five places.
Number seven.
Yeah.
Let me throw you a softball here. So it's probably not a great time to smudge when you're refilling the propane tank. Probably should just not do it.
Okay.
Not do
it. Gas.
Are we doing this?
It's not a great time. I mean, maybe you're feeling like, you know, I want to just cleanse this propane tank and the truck that it's delivering it. No, don't do it. That's dangerous. It's dangerous. So I want to hear. Yeah. When is not a great time to smudge?
in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. That seems inappropriate, right?
Bathroom. What if you have to smudge the bathroom?
Well, that's not.
But not so in the bathroom.
I do. This is what I'll say. I don't know where it's wrong to smudge. I would do say. I think we go to it too much, though.
Yeah.
Like well, it just seems like holy Christ, man. Like
yeah. Well, it seems it starts to feel. And we said this quite a bit before. It's performative, you know. It's not for the action of what it's intended to do. It's more
for people to see.
I think what makes it hard is there's still people who are like reconnecting and they make it like it's confusing because there's some tribes that don't smudge. That's not even a thing for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So it ends up being, it's like turning it almost into a, well, just like Aaron said, they're turning it into like a stereotypical thing, you know?
I believe in it. I believe in the power of those plants. And when you burn it, when you use that smoke, I think there's something, I don't want to say sacred, but holy that happens.
Yeah.
But that also means that because I believe in it, like if I go to a different tribe and I see what they're doing, I like to look on or take part because I believe in it, right?
Yeah.
I think people who don't fully understand the purpose of those, the uses of those things are uncomfortable when it's outside of that little knowledge base they know. For example, one time I was doing something on your res, and I won't say names, but they were going to make some, or they were going to smudge or something. They use juniper, right?
Mm.
So they used it, and we used it, and I had some cedar or some bear root. And I said, here, you try this. You throw some on there, too. And it freaked them out.
Hmm.
They're like, no. Like, we don't use that.
That's smudge blocking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's smudge. I was smudge whoring.
You got smudge blocked.
You were trying to smudge block somebody.
No.
I get it, though. Blocked. No.
But I was thinking, like, in my mind, if I had made coals and done my thing and had to use a smudge, and then somebody said, let me use some of your coals, let's try this, I'd be like, oh, shit, go for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because so, I know what those plants are for, you know? So I think, because I'm avoiding your real question. It's more about people that claim to know the uses of those smudges. I often find don't, because their familiarity and their comfort with it isn't there. They're like rigid. And I'm like, man, if you really knew how these things are used and what they use them for, then you'll know, like, you'll know the leeway within them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. You know, it's like, well, so that it's the context that really matters, right? So if you had the same context that you're talking about, but you put it into some sort of ceremonial process that perhaps you're new to, that is pretty well established, you probably wouldn't even have done that. You probably wouldn't have said, oh, hey, it's kind of like saying, don't, how about sing this song next? But it don't even belong there. It's not like something that, it's not customary to that practice.
Mm-hmm.
However, you're talking about just like the, what we're accustomed to seeing today, which is just the sort of, I hate to say overuse, because, you know, we have a belief, like you said, in those plants and what they bring. So it's almost like the thought that, well, it's not really wrong, but it's sort of misplaced. And so when you see it sort of in that manner, in this really loose situation, you know, like someone starting a conference, you know, and sort of smudging things down, you know, there's not a whole lot of customary practice in that particular situation. So you feel comfortable saying, oh yeah, I want maybe throw a little bit of this on. It seems sort of like a, you know, sort of misplaced. I hear you saying.
What we're doing in the moment allows for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we was at like a medicine dance or something and they used a smudge, I wouldn't be like, hey, use.
I brought some.
You guys try some of the. Yeah. I brought my smudge bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's where there's sort of this, you get sort of a divide between what, well, it's like people who have an accustomed practice, a long held tradition about things, where things are placed, things are not placed. We want to reserve judgment.
But do we?
Well, I mean, like we don't go out and try to correct people, like say, oh no, you shouldn't be doing that, or this is the way I would do it. That's when you're familiar with that context of your own place and the things that you do, and you're comfortable, like Aaron was saying, you have this comfort level with that. You don't go out and try to mean mug people, manhandle things, try to make it be done your way, because you understand that the situation in which it's being applied, like what we see in academics or conferences or meetings where people are, you know, let's smudge the room off and get everybody feeling in a good way. I don't know. It's just like that. It doesn't feel natural. It just feels misplaced. So, you know, we don't want to meddle in that in that particular way. But I think we do have a sense that, and this is probably, I guess I have this sense that, and this feeling that I'm being misrepresented. That really important thing, those really important plants, it sort of feels like an abuse in a way. But then you got to wrestle with that idea that, well, I mean, it's hard to do it. I don't know. I think about, well, it can't be wrong if they're trying to do it in a way that they're not trying to cause harm.
But is it even if they're not trying to cause harm, and even though we're not judging, is it okay to not say anything?
Oh,
I think there's a time you do say something.
Because I feel like
I've seen it. I've witnessed it where somebody younger corrected this older fella.
Oh, yeah.
It was involving a pipe. He's trying to force this thing, and he kept like, and it was real performative. And I witnessed something really cool. They're speaking Crow, but he was telling him, like, you know, basically, like, if it was meant to happen, then it would happen, but it's not happening. There's something telling you, and it's because of what's going on here. You don't need to do it, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need to do it. Like you're trying to make something happen for these people. And I liked it. It was cool. I witnessed it. I witnessed a young man tell an older man, like he was in his 80s.
Mm.
This guy's in his 20s.
Yeah.
You know, but the way he told him, because of his cultural knowledge, he said the right things.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's just a young guy and said, it looks like you're doing it wrong, you know?
Yeah, that would, yeah. that approach is not correct.
It looks like it looks like you're doing it wrong.
Let me run out and get my pipe in the car.
Well, that's almost like what it was turning into, you know. And
oh yeah. 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 So I'm curious about that. Like Celicia was saying, and like you give an example, you know, when does it not ought to be? When ought it not to be ought to be? When should it be a person's place to intercede in whatever manner that felt respectful? And I think
it's a conference, you're wasting your time.
I would like to say, what do you do if you're witnessing something being invented right in that moment? That's their way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like
no matter what you say, they're just gonna keep making it up as they go.
Just like, yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's almost like that, you know, the lie a person tells, and they have to tell another lie to make the other lie fit. Then you gotta keep telling more lies to make that fit. That's how these weird traditions get invented, it seems like.
What? Speak with forked tongue.
Yeah, you speak with the forked tongue. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Walk in two worlds.
That two worlds will get you.
With
two eyes. We got two eyes.
You got the two-eyed, that C. The
two worlds.
You got the two worlds.
The seven R's.
Seven R's. Yeah, then you got the seven R. You got to worry about all those things. So if I close one eye, is that my colonial eye? And the other one is my indigenous eye.
Wait. Why'd you put indigenous second?
Oh, yeah. It's a good question. It's valid. You got to point those things out when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Again, there's a time and a place for everything.
So let's get back to this thing, because I think it's important. I wouldn't feel comfortable correcting anybody, even if it was in a manner that was the gentlest and the most logical, meaningful way. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. I don't even think I'd feel comfortable doing that in my own home territory, because people are too sensitive, you know? There's this heightened sensitivity. And I think it's because of, we all know it's because of cultural loss, and people don't want to feel, like
shame.
Yeah, they don't want to be discouraged.
They don't want to be shamed.
Yeah, they want to be shamed, and you don't want to discourage people, you know? If they're trying, then you kind of give them a pass, and if you watch for too long giving people passes, then that's when things start becoming invented, and then they become conventions, like the smudging.
Well, how about this?
Okay.
They call it, I've heard people lately, or not lately, but they'll say he's going to have a smudging ceremony.
Yeah.
Is smudging itself a ceremony? I've always understood it to be like something that accompanies a ceremony.
An accompaniment, yeah. Yeah. There's never the totality of a process centered on the smudging of anything that I know of, anyway.
Only the pre-smudge.
That's true. God dang, we can't forget.
The pre-smudge becomes a ceremony in itself, getting prepared to smudge. No, I think you're right, though. I mean, that's where we're at. That's what we face is these things. So it's easy. That, you know why? Because it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy and accessible to label something that you're familiar with as a ceremony. Because then it sort of gives you sort of some credibility, cultural credibility, to say, well, I'm going to perform a smudging ceremony. Mm-hmm. When I don't think, like you said, be considered the totality of a ceremony, nor is it placed in the right context of in which the smudging ought to be performed.
Smudging is also done in the preparation of something. Yeah. So I know, like, people in the past, some of these cowboys, you know, they'll like smudge their bits off and stuff before something, you know, like if they're gonna compete or if they're gonna kind of get things prepped and ready. But there might be other things involved in that too that are private, you know, like a way. There's a way attached to stuff, horse stuff, you know?
Right, right.
Racehorses, things like that. So there's things attached to that. But so maybe sometimes it's not attached to a ceremony, but it's still attached to, like, there's something that it's for. So what I notice when people, what I'm curious is, like, at these meetings or when they say, well, we're going to smudge, we're going to do this. And it's like, okay, so then state the reason. So we're smudging in preparation for something.
Yeah.
What is that thing that we're doing?
Yeah.
Then when we say this is the reason, then it's like, well, then it doesn't warrant that.
Right.
If it's just to sit and talk or something, you know, I don't think that necessarily warrants it all the time. I guess I don't, man, but what do I know?
Hey, hey, man.
No.
Knock it off. Knock it off.
No.
But what? That's the classic Indian guy response. But what do I know? Ah, poor baby. Poor baby. No, you have a point there, though, you know? Because, so what you said earlier, you know the power of these plants. That's not just, you don't just go collecting these things or provide yourself of these things for no good reason. You have a deep understanding of their significance and power. And in a way, it feels like, well, if you're not using that for a reason in which it's warranted, you're sort of playing, which is dangerous. That's a dangerous thing, right? I mean, we're mm-hmm. familiar with that. In a ceremonial way, if you're playing, that's dangerous.
Danger, that's danger.
Yeah, that's often the thing that I think of when I see these things. Like, oh man, that I hope they're not going to get hurt themselves mm-hmm. in a way, because number one, it seems doesn't seem that authentic in a way, and number two, it's they're sort of playing with something that maybe not ought to be played with.
Like, it's really hard to respect it, even if, so in the instance of they're trying to learn something, it's hard to respect it if they don't know what it's for and they're not quite sure if they should be doing it at that time. And then it's like, well, I, like, in that way, that's what we have is it's like we have our own privilege, and we have a privilege of knowing those pieces of information, but we also understand that the responsibility that comes with that, which is not supposed to discourage them. So then you're kind of putting yourself at risk too, because it's like you don't know if their intent is all, if they understand their own intent.
Right. Yeah. That's a, I don't know. That's this, what did you call it? A conundrum? What did you say?
You called it that, a colonial
conundrum. Oh, no, Aaron said a colonial conundrum.
Colonial. I mean, it is. It is. It is, guys.
It is.
I just, we have to acknowledge it. We do. Like the land.
And the monsters.
Monsters on the land. That's why I'm wondering. Yeah.
Monster's energy drink.
Monster energy drink.
The flathead monster. The
flathead monster energy drink.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. That's what I'm wondering. Back to the question.
What the hell is the question? What the hell is the question here?
The question was when should you not smudge? And I gave a couple good examples when somebody else is smudging.
Who the hell cares?
When you're filling a propane tank. No, not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Not.
I feel not, like you're like, what's
not yeah. in a car? Not I, Sam. I am not green eggs in
not hell. In a box. Not with
not
the box.
In a bar. Not in a car.
Not in a Uber. Not in an Uber.
Don't smoke. Yeah, don't smudge in an Uber. You might lose some stars on your Uber.
In an Uber. Just a minute while I smudge.
Let me smudge. How do you say it in your language in Salish? How do you say like when you're doing that?
I don't know the word. That's a great question. I don't know. How do you say? How do you say it in Crow and what does it mean? Maybe that'll help me figure out how it might be said.
Balakabig.
And what does it mean? I mean, what is the...
It's the act of using that balakaba is like your... Balakaba is like the actual smudge itself. And just... To do it.
The word it has a root word in it, and I think the root word has something to do with the plant.
Dinosaurs?
The plant. No, it has something to do with the plant.
Did you say the dinosaurs?
In Palmkston.
I would like to acknowledge the dinosaurs. In
Palmkston. I'm trying to talk here.
Sorry.
Are you? What are we talking about?
We're talking about this thing. I'm getting sick of saying it. Smudge.
I'm tired of saying the word.
Well, don't say it anymore. Jeez.
You picked this topic.
Oh, man.
Is this why you called this
meeting? Hey. Just calm down.
I adjourned this meeting today to resolve. Ah, you said it. You know what I'm going to do? I want to challenge the listeners. And you know what I'll do? You know what I'm gonna do too? With the first listener that counts how many times we said the word smudge, I will send you a tribal research specialist 16-ounce coffee mug.
Oh yeah.
I want one of those. Yeah. Well, I do too. So
it's
what I'm
Palmkston.
Huh? Palmkston, yeah, that's the
Palmkston.
That's the, like you use a plant, like you're using a plant to smoke something off, or it's a device. This plant is a device for something. Yeah, but no, serious. Listeners, loyal listeners, the first one to email tribalresearchspecialist@gmail.com. We will send you a complimentary coffee cup.
Tribal research coffee mug.
Tribal research specialist coffee mug. Because I'm curious. I'm curious.
That's a lot. That means you got to count them.
I do.
Because I ain't.
All right. I got to count them up. So we'll count them up. And then you're muted there, Salisha, if you're trying to tell us something.
Print a transcript.
Well, yeah, I'll print a transcript and do a word count. Anyway, okay, let's get off this topic because we've killed it. We've got it with my dot matrix.
It's killed us.
It's killed us.
No, yeah. But you never did. Did you even answer me about that gang fight?
Yeah. Is it an appropriate time to...
In a gang fight.
Let's think of a different word than smudge. And let's try that. Let's replace the word smudge with... let's see, what's a good word?
Cacao. Just kidding.
Cacao. Cacao.
We need a safe word.
No. How about eyelashes? Eyelashes. Would you eyelash yourself before a gang fight? Or would you eyelash yourself during a gang fight? No, I mean, you kind of want to be in the moment. You don't want to stop and eyelash yourself. Eyelash is not a great word either. Sounds weird.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know. I've lost total control of this episode. I had a point. and it's gone. Somebody's got to rescue it.
Okay.
Pull us in. Because there's a point here. There's an important point here that we've made a couple of them. And I think, well, you want me to tell you? Well, you tell me what you thought it was. I'm gonna see if you're active listening. Praying. Nobody says nothing.
Praying at a meeting?
I don't know. No. Praying at a meeting.
We talked about that for a long time.
That was an example. I know. Well, maybe I don't know. Aaron's he's got nothing. He's just trying to digest that bowl of dairy he just wolfed down. Is that checked?
I'm waiting for the conversation to start because this is, I don't know what you're doing today. I don't know what your goal is. I don't know why you're coming at us with this Bush League. I call Bush League on this.
Okay. One of the points was sort of what our observations and our responsibility to address discrepancies and how we might be misrepresented outside of our communities. So there's a number of people in and outside of our communities right now that misrepresent sort of some of our cultural practices.
Yeah, and
that misrepresentation. I don't know. This is the one I don't know. Does that do harm?
I'll quit doing it. Then, guys.
This was actually another intervention for Aaron for him to.
What are you quitting?
Knock it off.
I'm acting fake.
Acting plumb fake. I seen you.
You're always acting fake.
You're scaring me. Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Aaron, I'm gonna go. How come you're always acting fake?
Okay. Did somebody actually say that to you?
No, acting bad though. You're always acting bad. Why are you always acting bad, man?
Okay. That's the question. So that's the question is
I didn't hear the question, dude.
Oh, come on, man.
Are we talking about misrepresentation?
We're talking about.
Are we being misrepresented in smudge?
No, that was just an example. That was an example. Trying to illustrate an example of.
Yes, we are being misrepresented.
Well, I know that. That's the point. Misrepresentation. And yeah. Then responsibility of community people who are in the know, responsibility of community people to do something about it.
Yeah. You know what though? It's like there's like two separate communities, and I don't think it'll ever be different now. Like it's just gonna keep growing. But there's back home, like if you're not living at home, there's back home.
There's a back home community.
That's the community back home, and then there's the community where you're at, which is not back home.
If you're not back home.
And it seems to be the community where you're at, where you see all of that most of the time. Because anybody that's in this outside community, in the outside community, probably would be too scared to go do what they're doing back home.
Back home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you're living back home, and your work takes you somewhere else, people can kind of act up, you know, act up and do stuff because they want to be the showman or the one to, when we talked about this, about the praying at the meetings and all that stuff, but when should we have the the when should we say something?
Man, I don't know.
I don't
so
know.
Like my whole job as a preservation officer is to say something, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always talking about how we gotta quit being basically how I'm sick of this like cheesy performative thing that's not only expected of us, but that we keep delivering.
Yeah. Yeah.
We and deliver. I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm begging white people to quit asking us to do this. Cause as long as you're asking, we're going to do it. We're going to just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, God damn, like,
yeah,
you know, stop.
So, that's the thing though, is like, there's all these people who are indigenous people and they went through some trauma and like historical trauma issue. Like maybe they were adopted or something and now they're old and now they're ready to find out where they're from. And there's that. And sometimes it's in that case where that's happening, and then it's hard to, so that's ends up being, I get what the question is when do you say something? Because then it's like, well, there's all kinds of factors that play into it. Because if you're like in an urban community, you're got all kinds of people from all over the place. It's probably not going to be somebody from where you're from. So what you say isn't even going to be a teachable moment to them because you only know the stuff where you're from. So how are you supposed to say something if you don't know nothing about where they're from? And then on top of it, they need to, like, let's say they do know something and you have no context because you're like in a city setting or something like that, like you're in a urban setting, you know, like there's no a bunch of group of people doing the exact same thing. It's just the one person doing the weird thing like a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like I guess that's how they do it. Like I wouldn't know because I don't know how they do it where they're from.
Yeah.
This topic is starting to hurt my brain.
Well, the thing I think about it is, you know, why should we even care? Because back home, I often think that things are going okay.
And you would be wrong.
But yeah,
we're,
but then
yeah,
but,
we're never right.
But then again, but yeah, but then again, they're going probably better than it is when you're not back home. So then that makes me think, well, why would I spend all my energy on these things that are not happening back home when I got all these things that are happening back home that I should be focusing on?
Right.
Yeah, I shouldn't try to put all my energy into helping this situation that feels a little bit off, but maybe I shouldn't meddle.
Right.
When there's things back home that you sort of do have some sort of influence or some sort of way to help shift and guide it in the right way. So it goes to this point where, you know, where are we putting our efforts and how much should we care? Now, Aaron's in a position where he has to care because it's your job, right?
And it you're at him. Home. And
it affects the thing.
And I'm yeah. back home.
And you're back home. So the things you say and you do when you're not back home at these things that you go to have a direct effect to things that happen back home. I think we need like a flow chart, you know, to map this.
No,
out.
We don't. We don't. We need to skip this track on this CD, on this whack CD we're listening to.
Well, skip it. What is what?
It's 10:30 at night in Montana, and I want to talk about funny shit.
I was trying to pull something out of you, but you were resistant.
You are.
Yeah, you resisted it. I gave you some pretty comical examples of when not to smudge. And you went total. You went all the way.
You were wanting me to do
total medicine man on me. And said, well,
Why you don't?
Plants are important creatures, and you only use them in important ways. And when I'm back home, I use these this particular way. And I was like, dude, I'm just trying to be funny, make a joke. I even caught you off guard and threw out a good one, and you didn't follow. You folded, man.
I had just gone through our transcript of our conversation earlier today, which maybe we should have ended the show at.
Well, I'm sure you could think of some good places not to smudge. That's what I was getting at. What is it? You don't have to be no in serious.
In an airplane.
Yeah, you get some federal charges. There you go. You get is that fed funny? Charges on.
No.
That's not that funny. No. That's pretty serious, actually. Get you on the no-fly list.
Felonies are not a joke.
Felonies are not a joke. Those follow you for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, believe me.
Yeah. That wasn't funny. That wasn't funny at all. Low-hanging fruit, man.
Low-hanging fruit. Okay, well, Salisha's got a funny example.
I don't.
Oh, come on.
Well, they're all your examples.
Oh, that was adorable. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, it's your anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
What was that old Harvey Dreamer song? Anniversary to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been together for 35 years.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's kind of an awkward one. Still going strong.
Yeah.
So I made you this love song.
Oh, my.
Happy anniversary. That's not win.
To you.
To you, yeah.
And you and her, too. Yeah.
You and I.
You and I, forever and ever, you and I.
Sweetheart. Honey pie,
sugar, honey bun.
I can't think of any more.
Hip hop grandma. You remember that?
No, I don't remember hip hop grandma. Yeah, they come up with some
dance style. You drop all night long.
Oh, yeah.
Looks good. Something.
Yeah.
It's been a year since we've been without the late, great Clayton Chief, founder of Little Island Cree Singers. Which mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest round dance groups ever.
Iconic.
So just this last weekend they had his first annual or his first of four memorial round dances in Saskatchewan. So that's cool. I'm not Cree. I don't know anything about what they do, but I think that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
So although our song turned into a Little Island Cree cover song from the 1996 World Champion Hand Drum Singers album. Do you remember that?
I remember that one. Yeah.
Remember that long lead?
Which, no, I don't.
Well, maybe sing I was it. Thinking of a different tape.
Sing it tape. Once.
Oh, no.
Sing her once you, through.
How about one it. Time we were singing push dance songs with the late Edmund Oldcrow? Yep. In the old tribal building in Crow, and there's like Jeff McDonald, there's a bunch of Crow, like kind of the Black Whistle group guys, and then me and Timmy Smiles, and we were going to sing push dance songs, you know? So we started singing push dance songs, and I don't know if our listeners know, but push dance songs are kind of the Crow version of like love songs. They're real similar to round dance songs. Man, but anyone who's heard push dance songs knows they're pretty. They're like a really pretty... Yeah. Composed song. So we're singing and we're in a circle and this guy comes in, one of the night security guards, because we're singing at the tribal building and it's like late, it's like 10 o'clock at night. So he comes in with a pop can, and on the top of the pop can he had burned a bunch of sage, and he set it on the pop can. He thought, oh, I should light a smudge for these guys.
Yeah.
So he walks in between the circle of singers and he sets that down. And you know, when sage is burning, it produces a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
So we're like jamming, you know, singing these push dance songs. And pretty soon we're all coughing. And then Edmund just grabs that can, walks outside, and he throws that smudge out. But you asked me. It's not a good time to smudge when you're singing, man.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it. Yes.
That's you can't. A good you can't. Story.
That was a good story. Yeah. That was a good story. A heartfelt. And answered the question. All right, man. You know what? I don't know. Let's cut it off there, man. Mm-hmm. Aaron's getting tired and grumpy. He's a grumpy guy, man. You're almost what, 45? Is that right? Don't want to
40.
Say. Oh, okay. Sorry, God.
I think we're all, Salisha, we're only like a year apart, right?
I don't know.
Age well, came up. Age came up and it got awkward. What the
heck? Wait a second. My entire life.
Did you skip a year?
My entire life, I thought we were like either the same age or you're a year older than me. Am I wrong? Are you like way older than me? Are younger?
No, you're not young. I'm older, but I think by a year maybe.
Yeah.
Are you turning 41?
Yep, this year.
Okay.
In May, I'll turn 41.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all confused now. Why are people ashamed of age? Why is that a thing?
Don't know.
I feel like old Indian ladies wouldn't have been. Are they ashamed?
No, I don't think so.
Did they care?
Okay. This is another topic because how many older ladies do you know dye their hair black?
What? Now I'm talking about. I didn't mean older in age. I meant old time.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Yeah. Let me retract that. That's, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think so. Why would you be? I don't know. That's the same thing with like how much people make, you know. What's wrong with publishing everybody's salaries that work for the tribal government?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Hi-oh.
There it is. Let's do it.
I say go for it because I'm still underpaid. So
I know. We ought to know who's getting over and underpaid. That's pretty important.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's different. That's a different podcast. And that's a good one. We should talk about that one next, you know. Transparency and tribal government.
Oh, no.
No, dude, I'm just kidding. Settle down.
Jeez. No, we need to.
Okay. We need to wrap this. What?
Yeah. Call it. Let's call it, man. It's good.
I don't want to say. You don't want to say it because you got mad.
I didn't. Yeah. What? I didn't get mad.
You did. You got frustrated.
I mean, if you could only sit in meetings with me, dude, like this is such a common conversation, this whole idea, performative Indian bullshit. And it's like it was just like yesterday. It was quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah. I'm
on the front lines, dude. This typical work ain't no joke, dude.
No. Uh-uh. I think you're right in the trenches even more than academics might be.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it as much.
I think in fact sometimes academics is part of my problem. Like they've created issues. The academic world has created issues for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
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 That's a whole nother episode too, right there.
It is a whole nother episode, but it's like
that'd be a fun episode though.
It's okay. Like kind of what we were going. That's kind of where we were, like that last little bit we were talking about, because it's like,
yeah,
if you were to grab somebody from here and send them back home, they're going to find out it's not the way they think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the ones that are really true and sincere and really want to reconnect, that's what they do. They find their way home and then they learn, and you can sort of see that transformation of their understanding change. Yeah. But anyway, let's call this one.
All right, ma'am.
Call this one. This was
Salisha, good. It was good to visit with you. It's fun.
She just laughs at you.